So last week, I shared a message that you're all prophetic. I didn't say you were all prophets. A prophet is more of an office thing, but that God's people are all prophetic. We all hear the voice of God to some degree or another, and we can all share what we're hearing, and that makes us prophetic. And that's a real simplification of what I taught last week. But while I was in that message, I was thinking about some passages that are connected closely with the ones that we shared last week, especially out of 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. I was thinking about those passages that I think have caused some confusion in the body of Christ because they've been taken wrong and misunderstood. So I'm going to be reading a lot of Scripture today. And in the process of reading the Scripture, I'm going to start with the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So if you want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, get in there, and we'll be starting with the first verse here in a little bit. And then we're going to read through a bunch of Scripture. But for time's sake, I'm going to be reading it in chunks. So there's a chunk of the 12th chapter that I'm not going to read. It's actually, I think, 16 verses in the middle of the chapter. And those 16 verses have to do with, you know, us as a body of believers. And it does have to do with the gifts of the Spirit, but it doesn't have, it's not as much about their function as far as individually functioning, but it's about the importance of the body of believers. It's one of my favorite passages, but I'm going to kind of skip over that. And then we're going to end up in chapter 14, and we're going to end up skipping over all of chapter 13. And again, 13 is the love chapter, and it's the motivation on how you should be acting or what your heart should be when you use the gifts. So we're going to kind of jump over those things. But today's message, I entitled it, Do All Do It All? Do All Do It All? Because there's been this question about, well, what Christians get to do what things? Like, what gifts of the Spirit get to be manifest in the lives of the believers? And I wanted to approach that and kind of clarify some things on that. So we're going to focus on mainly the verses that we need to kind of clarify some things. So are you in chapter 12? If you're in chapter 12, let's begin 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Everybody say ignorant. Look at your neighbor and say ignorant. I didn't say call them ignorant. I just said ignorant. I'll explain that word. I just wanted to emphasize that word. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. By the way, I was reading over this in my preparation this morning, and I wasn't going to add this, but this isn't in my notes, but it was just right there where I felt like I should say something. He says, you know that you were Gentiles. The Corinthians were not Jews. But Paul is saying, you know that you were Gentiles. I guess Paul didn't think of them as Gentiles anymore. And I think that's kind of cool because when we come to Christ, we aren't what we used to be. And there's a differentiation right there that I thought was worth taking note of. So anyway, you know that you were once Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Well, that goes back to last week's message, doesn't it? We talked about all of us have a level of prophetic in us. We speak by the Spirit, and there it is again. There are diversities of gifts, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. I'd love to stop and teach right there, but if I do, I'll never get to where I want to go. But there's a lot in that little section right there that I just read. Verse 7, but the manifestation, everybody say manifestation. Okay. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, now, we've read that section. We're going to jump down to verse 27. And again, the stuff in between is not insignificant. It's just that if I read everything, it just takes a little extra long. So verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. Everybody say, in the church. Okay, that's an important phrase in this too. In the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. Everybody say, earnestly desire the best gifts. Good. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. Now, remember, this is part of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. When they got the letter, they didn't have chapters. They didn't have verses. He didn't map it out for them. He was just telling them some stuff. And if he was anything like you or me, he had a tendency to go in and out of the subject to add important things to the subject. So the whole of chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians is, we call it the love chapter. Most of you have heard it called the love chapter. And the reason he wanted to include that was he wanted to make sure right smack in the middle of talking about gifts in 12 and talking about gifts again in 14, that he reminded everybody that our most important thing that we do is we love. That really, in my mind, the gifts are there to help us love people. If we want to manifest the gifts because we want people to know that we're amazing, well, that might not be love. But if we want to see the gifts of the Spirit manifest in our lives so that God can use those gifts to show his love to people, then that becomes amazing. And that's what our focus should be. And so Paul was doing this. That's just like in chapter 12. He drifts into talking about the body and the importance of some are, you know, everybody's not an eye and everybody's not an ear and those things. So those things are important, but let's get to the next verse that I want you to look at. So let me read the last verse of chapter 12. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Okay, we jump over to chapter 14, and we're going to look at two verses there. Verse 1 and verse 31. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Everybody say, desire spiritual gifts. Okay, and then verse 31 from last week. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Everybody say, all prophesy. Okay, good. I wanted to cover those verses, some of those verses specifically, because, you know, we talked about this last week. There is this perception that there are limits, or there are more limits than I think there really are, to the ability of God's people to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. Specifically, last week we were talking about prophecy. And we talked about how when you prophesy over somebody, it doesn't have to be a thus saith the Lord and be full of information that they couldn't have known any other way. A lot of times the best prophecies are the ones that are confirmations, where someone comes up to you and they say, I just feel like I need to tell you that, you know, God's going to take care of this situation that you're in. And like, yeah, I need to hear that. And it wasn't a big, you know, scary, thus saith the Lord kind of a thing. It was more just, oh, the Spirit's encouraging me through you. And that's prophetic by nature, that the Holy Spirit can bring us edification, exhortation, and comfort, it says later in chapter 14. We're not going to go back over that. But because of that, there are some people who are kind of like, well, yeah, but you know, you can't have all the gifts of the Spirit. Have you ever kind of heard that or thought that? A lot of times we create an objection to people having a manifestation of all the gifts or certain gifts or even of ourselves. Well, God just didn't gift me that way. And it creates an objection because of things where like in the 1 Corinthians 12:30, do all speak with tongues? Are all prophets? Are all this? Do that? Do that? And we have, and Paul's asking that question and people go, oh, yeah, see, not everybody gets to do that stuff. Not everybody gets to do the stuff. Well, if the implication is that not everybody gets to have every gift, then people can kind of use that to say, yeah, I just don't have that gift. And then they never have to be responsible to be used in that gift. Well, I don't have that gift, so I don't have any responsibility there. Well, last week, we looked at that verse, though, because are all prophets? No. But do all prophesy? Well, you can all prophesy one by one, Paul says. So we've got this thing going on where is Paul telling us we can't have all the gifts, or is he telling us we can? See, I believe that people use this verse kind of misunderstanding it, suggesting that we are limited by the Spirit. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. That's another verse, verse 11 of chapter 12, that people use. He distributes those gifts as he wills. And so, again, we think, well, apparently he didn't give me that gift, so it's not his will that I have it. Even as I'm speaking this, I'm sure that some people may be watching online, or maybe some of you are thinking, yeah, that's right. We can't have all the gifts. We just can't. What if I told you that I think that that understanding is off? And what if I told you that I've had all of the gifts of the Spirit manifested in my life during my Christian walk at one time or another? What? Really? Yeah, I have. Not always when I wanted them, as he wills. There were times when I had a word of knowledge. There were times when I had a word of wisdom. There were times when, by faith, a miracle took place. One of my favorite miracle stories was my Uncle Mike and I were out in a boat. He fired the engine up. We zipped across the lake to the opposite side. We got in a nice place. We fished a little while. And then he started to try to pull on that little engine, and it wouldn't start. And he goes, I should have cleaned that thing up before. He says, oh, man. He says, and we didn't even put any oars in the boat. And he's like, yeah, and he worked on it for a half an hour trying to get it to start. Finally, he says, I don't know what to tell you, Timmy. He says, we're going to have to drift into the shore there, and then we're going to have to walk around the lake. Now, the lake was, it was one of those, you know, not as wide as it was long lakes, and we went straight across the middle. So we were going to have to walk all the way down yonder and then all the way back. And he was like, oh, man. I says, well, let's try one more thing. He says, what's that? I says, I'll pray. And I said, Lord, we don't want to walk around this lake. So I want you to start that engine for us, Father, in Jesus' name. I looked at my uncle and I said, go ahead and pull it one more time. And he's looking at me like, what did you just do? Now, whether that was a miracle gift or a faith gift, I had faith at that moment that God would do. I don't know what to tell you about that. God's all done all sorts of weird stuff in my life, in our lives, through the years. And we've seen those gifts work in our lives when God wanted them to be taken advantage of, and probably could have seen them work in our lives, but I wasn't maybe always aware that God was ready to use those gifts in my life. Like if my thinking is, oh, well, he gives that gift to somebody over yonder, but he doesn't give it to me, then I won't be looking for that gift to be manifest in my life, will I? Earlier, one of the first words I had you repeat was ignorant. And in today's culture, when you say something about somebody being ignorant, it's usually considered an insult. People don't like to be called ignorant. But the reality is, I think I mentioned this recently in another sermon, you don't know what you don't know. The idea behind the word here is not that you're some kind of, you know, cad or hillbilly, or something's wrong with you and you just don't know what you should know. No, this is like you don't know. And if you don't know, you won't know unless somebody tells you. It's not something's wrong with you. It's just a piece of information's missing. Now, there are some who don't want to know. That's not ignorance. That's just stubbornness. And I don't know any stubborn Christians, but maybe you know a couple. Remember, by the way, Paul is writing this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just Paul saying, I don't want you to be unaware. Maybe that's a better way we could say it. I don't want you to be unaware. It's the Holy Spirit saying, I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to not know something that you might find useful. Another word that I had you repeat was the word manifestation. This is where the gift is experienced. This is where the gift of the Spirit is experienced. Paul is telling us that not everyone will be used every time to manifest the same gift. But he doesn't mean by that that everyone can't manifest the same gift. How many of you believe that if God can talk through a donkey to Balaam the prophet, he can probably talk through you? If he wants to. The question is, does he want to? We're going to get to that, because that's the fun part right there. So, not all prophesy, but all can be used prophetically. Not all will be called to be a prophet, perhaps, in a church setting or in a gathering of believers and be the office prophet who, by the way, if you don't know what a prophet actually does, a prophet doesn't just prophesy. A prophet is somebody who equips other people to prophesy. So not everybody equips everybody else to prophesy, but that doesn't mean that you all can't prophesy. And so we can all be encouraged by God speaking by His Spirit through each of us. But even as it says in verse 31, one at a time. Like if we're all talking at the same time, it's hard to... I'm prophesying right now. I'm speaking by the Spirit about the things that God wants us to understand. If four or five other people stand up and all start preaching at the same time, it'll be hard to concentrate on any one of them. So there is a place for order that allows us to grow in the things that God wants us to grow in. Paul's limitations on the gift is not so much on what we can do as it is when we should do it. And that helps a lot. That's what he's trying to do. He's not trying to limit our ability or God's ability to use us in any one of these gifts or to manifest any one of these gifts in our lives. He's just trying to make sure that we understand how those manifestations should work. And normally in a meeting, if we all come together and some of these gifts start operating, it won't all be coming from the same person. So again, when Paul says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers. You know, there's a verse in Hebrews that said, you should all be teachers by now. Isn't that interesting? You should all be teachers by now. But I have to give you milk because you're not ready to be teachers, is what the Hebrew writer was saying. But you should all be teachers by now. Why would the Hebrew writer want all people to be teachers if all can't be teachers? Well, all can't be teachers all at the same time. If everybody stands up now and we all start trying to teach each other, who's going to learn? It's just a matter of trying to give some order to things. Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? He's talking about our times of gathering. Because he says, and God has appointed these in the church. In the church. What is the church? What's the gathering? It's the time when we come together. In the church, in the time of gathering, not everybody's going to do everything all at once. But different ones will be used by the Spirit to minister to the whole of our gathering. That's why we have ministry time after the preaching of the word, and we encourage you because God could speak to you. He could give you a word of knowledge. He could give you a word of wisdom. He could give you a word of prophecy. And while we're singing and worshiping, you might go to somebody and say, hey, I just felt like the Lord, I just felt like I should tell you this. And take it and, you know, if it makes sense, apply it. And if it's not yet, put it up on a shelf and wait and see if God speaks to you about that later. See, these gifts work that way. Let me just say this. God has never wanted just one or two gifted individuals to be the ones used in his gathering. This much understanding, this bad idea of some, ta-da, here I am. I'm going to put on a special colored suit, wear my hair a certain way, and I'm the man. I have the power resting on me. I have the anointing. I'm important. That was never God's idea. Now, has God used some guys that maybe even had that attitude? Yeah. Again, he used a jackass in the Old Testament. He can still use them today. So the problem is, sometimes God will use the one who's willing, even if they're not exactly all together, and he might manifest his gifts through them because other people aren't ready to have the gifts manifest through them. So he manifests the gifts through an individual who's willing and has experienced them and is not afraid, because somebody else is like, I feel like God's speaking to me, but I just don't know if I want to say that or not, because what if I'm wrong? Or what if I did this? Or what if it doesn't work? But God's not interested in a one-man show. And I've railed against a one-man show most of my life because it bothers me. The laity-clergy divide, I hate to tell my brothers who are clergy in the community, but that's not of God. And I can show you a place in Revelation where Jesus says he hates it. Hates it in one of his letters to the seven churches. Now, here's something I want to really emphasize. What was the last thing Paul said in the 12th chapter, just before switching to the motivational part of love being the motivation for the gifts? What was the last thing he said? He says, pursue love. Excuse me. The last thing he said in chapter 12 is, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the best gifts. And then he says, but I'll show you something even better. And then he goes into love. Because love's a little more important. If we don't have love, we probably shouldn't be manifesting the gifts, because then we're just showing off. So verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And then what's the first thing he says after he gets done with the love part? The first verse in 14 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Did you notice the word desire there in both of those verses? So the last thing he says is desire spiritual gifts, and then he talks about love, and then he says desire spiritual gifts. Desire. Have any of you ever had desire?
I don't know. What do you mean by that, Lord? I don't want to get too... Don't go too far with that, Pastor Tim. That could get kind of weird.
Let me ask you something. Would God tell us to desire something if he really didn't want us to have it? Desire spiritual gifts. But I really don't want to give that one to you because, well, you would take that one the wrong way, and I'm not going to give it to you, and you don't get that. But you can desire it all you want. In fact, you should desire the best gifts. You should go after them. You should have this desire. Does that sound like God to you? The word desire is also translated in the following ways throughout the New Testament. Here we go. Desire is also translated jealous. It's also translated zealous. It's also translated envy or envious. And it's also translated covet. What? So it's translated basically five ways. Desire, jealous, zealous, envious, covetousness. Same word. It's actually zelou or zelos. And you can understand zealous, zelos in the Greek. In fact, Paul uses it in one place. He says to the Corinthians in chapter 11 of the second letter, verse 2, that he is jealous for them with a godly jealousy. And the reason he says he's jealous for them with a godly jealousy is because some other men had been coming in to talk to them, and some of those guys were teaching them things that weren't accurate and weren't true and were pulling them away from the faith, and he was jealous to get them back and bring them back into the truth. He was jealous for them with godly jealousy. That's a pretty strong word. So what God is saying through Paul is that he wants us to get all hot and bothered in our pursuit of spiritual gifts. Because the word really comes from the word hot or warmth. God wants us to be hot, on fire, to get some of his gifts.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense. What if the reality is that he gives his gifts to those who are hungering and thirsting for them? And the reason we don't see some of the gifts manifest in our lives is because we think, well, that's for somebody else. Do you see the misunderstanding that I'm trying to get to today? It's one of the things we want to accomplish in this house, and I hope people who didn't make it today because of the nasty weather, I hope that they'll get this message, because we want to create disciples. I said this last week. But disciples will grow churches. But not all churches grow disciples. And I want to see you equipped and made able to do amazing things for the kingdom of God. The people who are hungry to see God manifest his gifts through their lives are the people who will see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's like we have up on the wall. That's the kind of people that God wants to create in the earth today. And it's great to use your gifts. This isn't in here, but it just, Holy Spirit dropped it on my heart. It's great to use your gifts for the purposes of God. That's awesome. I want you to be able to do that. Use your gifts for the things of God. But I want you to use his gifts for his purposes even more. Because when his gifts manifest in you, he will get way more glory than if you're just a good singer or a good talker or a good this or a good that. And that doesn't mean don't use your gifts. But, you know, if you want to be a supernatural vacuum cleaner person, you can come in here and, you know, vacuum, and maybe it won't feel supernatural at first, but the more you vacuum, the more it might. We have a sign-up sheet for that. So as I said last week, we looked at evidence that you are already prophetic because you've heard the voice of God calling to you to become a Christian, and now you have the ability to hear the voice of God. And then as you hear the voice of God, you can share what you feel like God's saying, and that helps people experience God. But I want us to understand even more this week that we are all filled with His Spirit, that we all are baptized in His Spirit, or at least we should be. The difference between being filled with the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit is when you're filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's in you. And when you're baptized in the Spirit, you're swimming, you're baptized in the Spirit. You're in over your head. I like being in over my head. And in fact, when I get in over my head, my mind doesn't fight quite what God's trying to do sometimes. I just need to be drowning in His Spirit and let His Spirit lead me and direct me. So He wants to equip us to manifest anything and everything that His Spirit has given. He wants to equip us to manifest anything and everything that His Spirit has given. You are already workers of miracles. I wonder if we'll get to play back our lives, you know, like on a, I don't know, DVDs are now old technology, right? I wonder if we'll get to play back our lives and see the times when God used us when we didn't even know we were used. I've known people. There was this girl, I actually dated her for a little while, nice young lady, and she didn't know much about the Holy Spirit, but she knew a lot about poetry. And she loved Jesus. And all of a sudden, her poetry started becoming this fantastic, one after another, prophetic words that she would give to people. She said, I feel like I'm supposed to give you this poem. And she would give it to them, and they'd cry. You know, it hit them. I've still got a poem she wrote for me. Once in a while, I get it out and read it. It's really good because it wasn't just a poem. It had the breath of God on it. But what I want us to understand is we're already doing signs and wonders. I know a lot of people who look at certain ones in this room and they just wonder. Some of you are looking around. Signs and wonders are supposed to follow those that believe. Did you know that? Let me read it to you, Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Does it sound like a gift of healing, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover? I don't know. Some people want to distinguish between somebody who just gets, and then they place, and then somebody gets healed, versus somebody who just goes, well, let's try. I don't know that one is more of the gift than the other. You know, some people want to see something special. That was the gift of healing, and then this was just where you prayed for healing and it happened. I don't care. The healed person doesn't either. They're just happy to be healed. And I've seen some really crazy healings in my lifetime. We didn't even want to heal anybody the first night that we were in West Virginia at a little place called Lost Creek, where some of you know Eddie Jewell, where Jewell's grandma was there. It's where Sharon Jewell grew up. Found that out when we got up here. We were there, and Sam, one of the guys in the band, spoke that night, and he preached on having ears to hear, just meant, you know, spiritual ears to hear. And when we got done, had an altar call, eight people came forward who all had hearing loss. And eight people got healed. The one guy that we prayed for had no ear because it had been removed after a hand grenade had gone off near him during the Vietnam War. And he had a hole in the side of his head, and he could hear out of it for the first time since that happened. Was that a gift of healing? We weren't trying to manifest any gifts. God just was doing what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. I believe God can do that through every one of us in this room and everyone who is listening live right now and everyone who will see this later. This is the normal Christian life. It's not the life for just a few chosen, special individuals. It's the life for all of God's people. Now, I may have caused more questions than given answers in this. That's cool. I like that. That's good. If you've got questions, and I probably can't preach a message long enough to cover every question that everybody might ask. But let's just try. Okay, take your Bible. No, we won't do that. Not this morning. But if you earnestly desire the things of the Spirit, then I believe if you earnestly desire them, if you're zealous for them, then I believe you'll also pursue them. When this young lady over here came along, I earnestly desired her. I was thinking about this morning because, you know, we had snow, and I always put it out there. Some people have bald tires. Some people get very nervous driving in any kind of slick weather at all. I get it. If you've got a bad vehicle for driving in the snow, you know, if your only vehicle is like my I had a 73 Maverick with an Edelbrock high-rise and a Holley four-barrel and side pipes, big V8 engine, which was never, the Maverick was engineered for a V6, and they stuck a V8 in it. It was stupid. And I had it jacked up, so there was no weight in the back. Everything was on the front tires. That was a very dangerous car to drive in the snow. I'll just tell you right now, it's horrible. I was going down the highway one day, and I'm going, you know, 60 miles an hour, and this trucker and I hit this bridge at the same time, and my car went and went sideways through the whole bridge with the truck right here. And then when I got to the other side, I steered into it. When I got to the other side, my car straightened right out, and I kept going. And I had a CB, and he says, "Hey, Maverick, you okay?" I said, "No, the seat's really wet, but other than that, I'm fine." If we earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, the things of God, then we will intentionally pursue them. I intentionally pursued Lisa during the snowiest winter that we had while we were living in southern Ohio. It was the year of the blizzard, and I drove through the blizzard to see her because I wanted to see her, because I earnestly desired to see her. Crazy man, crazy about her. We do those kind of things, don't we? Yeah. That's how you know you earnestly desire something. My job is to help you. If you've got questions about what I'm saying and you think, well, wait a minute, are you telling me I could have, you know, the gifts of the Spirit and I could see all of them in my life? Absolutely. Then nothing would make me happier than if all of you had the experience over your lifetime or even over this afternoon. It wouldn't bother me at all. That the gifts of the Spirit began to manifest in your life more and more so that you would say, oh, that was that gift that kind of took over where I was coming up short and the gift came in. God equipped me. And something happened that was beyond my ability and I can give God glory for it. That's what an equipper, a pastor, we're not supposed to do all the stuff. We're supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And you may not think you're a saint, but saints aren't people who are perfect. Saints are people who have given their lives to God. That simple. So seeing you made ready for the Spirit to be released through you is my greatest joy. And God can release His Spirit through you. And helping you come to the realization that God wants to manifest His power through you is just a huge step in the right direction for that. When we become aware, no longer ignorant, but totally aware that God wants to do this stuff through little old me, then God can start to do this stuff through little old me. And as long as I am not open to it and not willing, it becomes a little more complicated for God to do the stuff through little old me. Now, that doesn't mean He won't take you in some directions and do some things in your life that'll get you there. But how much faster could we accelerate this if we just said, okay, Lord, whatever you want, I want these things. I want them to manifest. How many of you, let me just ask this question. How many of you know someone that is doing stupid stuff right now? No, some of you have no stupid people around you? I know some people who need wisdom. And any of you know people who need wisdom? Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if God would give you a word of wisdom? They might not even recognize it. You might have to say, this is a word of wisdom, but God gave you a word of wisdom and you shared it with them and they went, bing, the light came on. Light bulb. And suddenly they were able to do or get through a situation that they weren't getting through. Wouldn't you like to have that gift? Wouldn't you like to have a word of knowledge where you tell them something and they go, how did you know that? Well, Holy Spirit kind of put it on my heart that might be the situation, and it's just because He wants to touch your life and make things better, which opens up the door for you to see signs and wonders and miracles. What would happen if the Church of Jesus Christ in the world today became a place that was known for signs and wonders and miracles? Not just skinny jeans on pastors. Not just certain haircuts, because, you know, there's a worship leader haircut that's really popular right now. Not just, you know, not just their good music, not just their nice buildings, not just their, you know, you name it, the things that we... What if we became known as the place where God does do miracles? All of the churches. Where it just became a normal thing. Somebody's like, I need a miracle. And they look around, and the first church they see, they wander into. Pray for me. And what if God's people believe that all God's people get to do all the stuff? So, I believe that we live in a time that is the best time in history, perhaps, to see God start doing signs and wonders and miracles, because there are billions of people who need him. Literally billions of people who need them. I want to pray for those that are in here, and if you're watching by live stream or watching this after the fact or listening to it via podcast, you know, go to BethelDefiance.com. You can find the links to find messages and things, catch up. And by the way, disciples, I really do believe that God's been giving us some things that have been building together. So if you missed something the last, you know, few weeks, go check it out. I listen to podcasts in the shower. I do. I like to, I've got a spot in the shower. I can lay my phone up where it won't get wet. And then I just listen to the Word of God being preached. It's really encouraging. You can find time to listen. This stuff will build inside of us, and God will start to use us in ways that we may have never realized that he can use us before. So I just want to pray for anybody who might hear this message and for all of you who have heard this message. If you will, just put your hands on your heart. So God, I know that in the 50 years that I've been serving you, that something's happened over and over, multiple times a year. You've shown yourself powerful by using somebody that's not any better than I am. And I know that I'm not better than anyone. And I know there's no one that's worse than me that you can't use. And I've seen you use some people that, wow, they'd been through a lot, and they had issues, but yet, nevertheless, you poured your spirit out on them and then used them to accomplish your will. And we thank you for that. And I believe that you want to work that in all of us, that you want to make us aware that you can use us, and you want us to hunger for the gifts. And when we hunger for them, I believe you'll give them to us, Lord. And so I pray that you'll stir up a hunger for everyone who hears this word, that there will be a hunger to be equipped and to be used by your Holy Spirit, and that there will be just a growth in your presence working in our lives to touch everyone in the little bits and pieces of the world that we can affect, Lord, until it becomes a mighty wave rolling across the land and touching the lives of millions. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.